Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
You need to get out more, I think.
I would like to get out a little bit more, but we're still in lockdown. So you've got to be very careful.
You are allowed out, though. You could go to the shops if you want.
Yes, I think so, but I'm not at that stage just yet. No, you know, no real purchases required by Mr. Potts or the Potts family household at this stage that requires an urgent visit to the retail environment.
You don't think you should pay a visit to Potts Towers?
No, people tell me it's all doing fine in London.
You might have Scossers have moved in by now.
I hope not, but, you know, never mind.
Yeah. You got one of those Ring doorbells?
No, I haven't, to be honest with you.
Okay.
People take those, apparently, so you've got to be very careful.
Take them?
Well, people come along and sort of unscrew them and off they go with them.
Why don't you just drill them into the wall?
I don't know. I think you have them in the door, don't you? I don't know. You know, this is not a technology I've really focused on dramatically.
Okay, markets continued to rally yesterday. Consumer spending up in the US, but it's not sustainable, is it?
Well, I think policymakers continue to ride to the aid of nervous investors. It feels like any sign of anxious sentiment is very quickly quashed by yet another round of buying from central banks or pledges of fiscal stimulus coming through from governments. Markets reacted to that, powering ahead on hopes that such moves, particularly from the United States, will be enough to offset the biggest shock to the global economy since World War II. They also reacting to the data releases, particularly those positive retail sales numbers from the United States. But eventually, I think investors will look back at the fundamentals. They'll understand that it's been artificially boosted by central banks, and this can last a long time and can be significant, of course, but eventually it does come down to valuations and it comes down to earnings visibility, both of which perhaps a little bit more debatable at this stage. So I think investors need to be a little bit cautious and they need to have hedging strategies in place to try and reduce the risk of a significant sell-off from these levels. S&P 500 rose yesterday for a third day. It was up 1.9%. It was led by technology and healthcare. And we're looking at a positive start on the European bourses this morning. FTSE up 15 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 9 points. CAC in Paris up 5 points. Although the path of the pandemic continues to be worrying, investors will also be watching the medical data quite closely, particularly coming through from Beijing, where you've seen an outbreak in a food market that that supplies 80% of the city. I think we're seeing a big increase in infection rates in Florida. So there's a number of areas that are potential hotspots that have the potential to filter through to market sentiment.
Yes, and the pandemic is far from over in the United States as well. I mean, we had figures out yesterday saying that an extra 740 new deaths reported in 24 hours and total COVID-19 deaths in the US now 116,854.
Yeah, they are significant numbers. The US economy, of course, is easing those restrictions and is coming back to life, and that's a positive. The question is, do they pay a price for that in terms of the medical impact? And if that number really starts to rise, start to see infection numbers pick up, I think they have in 20 US cities, that could force leaders there to rethink the speed of the easing of those restrictions, and that of course would have an impact in terms of the economy.
And the big question is, how do we reset society after this pandemic? I mean, we've had lockdown finished for a month now in France and already the roads are filling up. I mean, it's not as bad as it was before, but quite a few traffic jams around on the motorway this morning. And you know, consumer spending up 17.7% in May in the UK. We saw the queues outside the stores in the US. We saw the queues outside the stores in the UK when they opened again on Monday. I'm constantly surprised about people going out and buying stuff they don't really need.
Yeah, there was this idea that actually we've all sort of changed during the course of the lockdown and that we're no longer going to be this sort of spending society where it's about material goods and it's about something perhaps more important than that and more family orientated and experiences and spending time with loved ones. As soon as the shops are reopened, that's all gone out the window and people are flocking back to the stores once again, it would appear, which is obviously good news for the economy, I suppose, particularly for developed economies where it's a significant significant component of growth. United States, of course, being top of that list. We had retail sales numbers yesterday that showed that they increased by the most on record in May after two straight months of sharp declines. Businesses reopening, adding to the evidence the world's largest economy can indeed emerge from the recession with the help of household consumption. Though the record jump in retail sales recouped only a fraction of the March and April decreases, leaving consumer spending and the economy on track for the biggest contraction in the second quarter since the Great Depression. Even with May's sales surge, it's still 8% below the February level. Retail sales, you say, up 17.7%. which is the biggest advance since the government started tracking the series in 1992. Americans used the easing of restrictions to buy cars, up 44%. Sales of electronics and appliance stores soared 50%. Receipts at clothing stores rebounded 188% during the course of last month. That's, of course, from a very low base. But I think the strong retail sales number, May's resilient employment report, improving manufacturing activity, all adds to the evidence of a steady bounce back for the US economy. So a big contraction in the second quarter, maybe as much as 40%. Then growth starting to shine through. We expect growth of just above 27% as you look for through the third quarter.
Then the other side of that coin is, okay, great to see retail sales rising to get economies going again, but it results in an increase in carbon emissions and the use of plastics.
Yeah, it's true. There's the other hope, of course, of the structural change coming through from the COVID-19 element for society is that there will be a greater focus and an acceleration towards the green agenda. We've certainly seen some aggressive moves coming through in Europe, and we saw the benefits of the lockdown in terms of the environment, but very quickly as the world starts to emerge from that, the reduced investment by certain companies may actually push back that agenda from a long-term perspective, and that's something I think many governments are cognizant of and will look to try to move some of that stimulus power to try and drive that agenda over the course of the next few years.
And you can tell there's an election around the corner in the United States when President Trump starts to speak about infrastructure spending.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. The Trump administration is preparing a $1 trillion infrastructure proposal as part of a push to spur the world's largest economy out of the recession. Money would be used for some traditional projects, including roads and bridges and railways, etc. But the funds would also be set aside for 5G wireless infrastructure and rural broadband. The draft plan is emerging as US lawmakers debate the timing and the scope of more stimulus. President Trump, you say, seen as wanting to boost the US economy, which may be absolutely crucial in his re-election chances.
Yeah, but so he's left a bit late, hasn't he? I mean, the chance of that getting through Congress before the election, I would say, pretty much zero.
Yeah, well, there are both sides of the aisle are actually talking about the potential to develop a joint plan. There is some debate, as I say, perhaps from the Democrats, exactly how that money should be funneled in areas in which they should be focusing on. And, of course, the timing of that will be important because, as I say, the economy is incredibly important when it comes to the election, particularly, of course, in areas that Donald Trump won last time that will be absolutely vital for him next time around. The Electoral College is important. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, these are states that Trump won last time, put them in the Republican column for the first time in 25 years, and he knows he'll need to win them if he's to secure a second term.
Well, it's coming up fast, isn't it? 5 months until the election.
Four months, I think, isn't it?
Is it four and a half months? Are you making any predictions yet about the results? Seeing what the most likely outcome is? The polls seem to suggest Biden's got quite a big lead at the moment.
Yeah, I was just about to say the polls have got, and particularly in some of those key states, that will be incredibly important. And remember, Biden is from Pennsylvania as well, so perhaps if Donald Trump needs to win that, then he's against a tougher opponent than Hillary Clinton in some of those areas. The America First message really shone through in some of those key states. Be interesting whether he can achieve that same level, but the economy I think will be incredibly important for him. We know that most presidents that seek re-election are able to do so. Those since 1900, those who haven't been able to achieve that has been against a difficult economic backdrop. A couple of months ago, of course, it looked in good shape. We had multi-decade low unemployment in the United States. We had rising wages. We had stock markets up at record levels. That was going to be the cornerstone, one would suspect, of President Trump's re-election campaign. Now he must perhaps rethink that, try to get the economy going, or change tack to push being tough on China as perhaps the way to be re-elected. So it's going to be, I think, somewhat of a fascinating campaign. The polls have certainly suggested that former Vice President Joe Biden is the front runner on the back of this, but those who write off President Trump often do so at their peril.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see who Biden chooses as his running mates, because he's more likely to vote for somebody who represents the Black Lives Matter movement, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a potential area that he'll be looking to focus on. Lots of speculation that he could choose a woman to run alongside him on the ticket. And again, it's all about understanding the way in which his policy is likely to evolve. He's likely to be more focused on big policy areas. Foreign affairs is one area we know that he's particularly interested in, but climate change and shared values, I think, are other areas that potentially Joe Biden will look to focus on if he does indeed become president.
Move over Adam Bolton. Goodness me, thank you.
I know. Mm. Well, to be honest, I wrote a whole argument around this yesterday, so I was slightly more informed on it than I normally am.
Oh, good. Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
I will send it over to you. Pound against the dollar coming in at 125.5. Euro dollar coming in at 112.5. Going to get €1.11 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Paulson, Barclays.